Parshas Matos Masei Tavshin Pei. So, Matos Masei, we know, concludes Sefer Bamidbar. Pretty amazing to already think about the fact that we are four-fifths through Chamishei Chomshei Torah in the cycle of reading Torah Shebichtav through the year. And we're going to be Zoche, Mitzvah Shem, to be able to be in shul and to, or in a backyard or wherever we're going to be, and to hear Chazak Chazak Venis Chazek, where we tell each other to be strong, and through being strong and giving each other chizik, we should all be strengthened. And Baruch Hashem, we'll be able to hear the Kriyas HaTorah in person and conclude Sefer Bamidbar and move on to Sefer Devarim starting next week. So, in a nutshell, Parshas Matos Masei really talks about the laws of Nedarim in the beginning, and Moshe tells the different halachos over to the Rashi Matos, to the heads of each tribe. And then there's Melchemes Midyan, where we learn out the Midyan were trying to create moral destruction for Bnei Israel, really like a spiritual battle. And we know that they, you know, just were trying to bring impurity towards us. And the Torah gives a detailed account of all the spoils and everything that was taken afterwards, and how it was allocated among the people who fought, and the Levim, and then the Kohen. So that, then later on, it talks about the Shvatim, about Reuven, Gad, and Chatzisheis Menashe, who joined them later on, and about their chelik and their land that was east of the Jordan, and that was their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe initially was upset and angry by the request, but subsequently he agrees on the condition that they first join in and lead in Bnei Israel's war when they go to conquer the land. And then Parshas Masei, the 42 journeys of Bnei Israel, the Masos, are detailed and described over many, many psukim, and from the time they left Mitzrayim through to their encampment to the time that they went to Arvos, to Moab, which is across the river from Eretz Canaan, and then the boundaries and the different borders of Eretz Yisrael are given, and the Ari Miklat are discussed. And then it concludes with Bnei Slovchad and that whole story over there. So it's a long parsha for the Baalei Kriya for this week's parsha. And it's like a double parsha. It's, I think, over 240 psukim together. So we'll go through a couple of the main topics that are discussed tonight, and hopefully be able to learn lessons in chizik from them. So to start off, first of all, the shir should be the zechus refuah shleima for Chaim Yisrael HaKohen ben Tov HaChaya. It's actually Chaim Slomnicki. He lived in this community. He is in need of rachamim shemayim and tfilos. He's not doing well, and needs a real refuah shleima. So he should have refuah shleima b'karav in the zechus of the Torah that we learned this evening. So in source number one, just to start off, we actually have a quick nugget from the Megala Amukos. And here he is Megala, something very amok, something very deep. And it's actually on Parshas Masei. So we know that Parshas Masei, the first pasuk, tells us as follows. Lamed Gimel Aleph, Eile Masei v'nei Yisrael asher yotzu me'eretz Mitzrayim l'tzivosam b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. That these are the travels of the journeys of Bnei Yisrael, and they left Mitzrayim according to their legions, their regiments, by the hand of Moshe and Aaron. Says the Megala Amukos, Eile Masei b'nei Yisrael, Roshei Tevos, Edom Madai, Bavel Yavon. Eile Masei b'nei Yisrael, says the Megala Amukos, is Megala, that this is really a hint and a reference to the four Golus. This is talking about the travels of Bnei Israel as they left Mitzrayim. Maisa Avo Simon Labanim. It's really in a much bigger way, in a greater way, talking about the four Golios that we as the Jewish people throughout history are going to go through. And that's what the Rashi Tevos are. Eile Masei Bnei Israel, the Golus of Edom, the Golus of Madai, the Golus of Bavel, and the Golus of Yavon. We know we're still in the Golus of Edom. And he goes ahead and says further, beautiful, Vahat Palm Al Eile Azla Gerish. Those are Balakari Kavanu Kavana, right? When we say Eila, it's Azla Gerish, like we were chased away, Mamish, like Golos, like we were kicked out. And then when it talks about Maase B'nai Yisrael, so then it's a munach, it's a resting, and again, Ravi, maybe Rem is there for the four Galios, but it's, the Megala Mukos is Megala to us, that these Masos that we talk about in this week's Parsha are not just a historical event that happened, and we're gonna talk about why the details of all the Masos are there. Why does the Torah spend so many words in Psukim going through all the different places they travel? We already know where they travel. Just say places they went, they had 48 total, and you know, we're good. Why does it have to go through all the details? But Megalamuko starts off the night by telling us that it's really Maisa Elosim and Labonim here, and telling us about the four Gullius of the future. So now back to the beginning of Parshas Matos. So Pasuk says, Vaydaber Moshe Rashi Matos of the Yisrael, Leimor Zeh Adavar Sheitziv Hashem. Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes of Bnei Yisrael, saying as follows, that this is the matter that Hashem has commanded. So Rashi says, Zeh Adavar, right? This is the beginning of the Parsha of Nedarim. Rashi says, Zeh Adavar, what is Zeh Adavar? This is the thing. Sounds very vague. What is that? What is the Torah teaching us? Moshe nisnabe b'kama Hashem kechatzos alayla. When Moshe would prophesize and have a nevuah, the phrase of ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, would be the words that were used by the Torah. V'hanavim nisnabe b'kama Hashem. And the other nevim, besides for Moshe, were also prophesized with this lashon of the Torah as well, ko amar Hashem. Mosaf aleh Moshe shnisnabe lashon zeh adavar. So, the pasuk here is teaching us that Moshe wasn't just a koamar Hashem when he had a nevuah, but it was also in a lashon of zeh adavar. So that's what Rashi says. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in source number 3, and we know before we get to Rav Yaakov and the Emes Yaakov, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu the Rambam brings down all the different types of nevuah that Moshe, why his nevuah was different than all the Nevi'im, right? And the main is ideas that he really saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Naspakla Klaria. He saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly, and the rest of the Nevi'im, it was an Aspakla Shayna Klaria. It wasn't clear. The Nevuahs weren't as clear. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was different and had distinguished from all the other Nevi'im in the way he communicated and had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Nevuah. So let's look at what Rako Kamenetsky has to say about this Rashi. So he quotes Rashi, and he says, "Tzarich lahavin ma achilik shebein lashon ko lashon zeh." What's the difference, says Yaakov, between the lashon of ko, which is how Moshe and all the Nevi'im sometimes is the language that's used for prophecies, like so. That's what the word means. So says Hashem, lashon zeh, that this v'gam es lashon zeh hu madrega yoser gavoa. And also it implies from this Rashi that Lashon Zeh is a greater Madriga, because Moshe was Zocha to that and the other Nevi'im were not. Inkin Madu Himtin HaKasav Atzof Sefer Midbar V'lam Hetu B'Tchilas Devei Moshe. Why also did the Torah go ahead and wait until now? Till Mamash, we're closing in here, you know, we're at the end of the Midbar, the travels in the Midbar, and at the end of the Midbar, why did the Torah wait till now to teach us this special level of Nevuah that Moshe had of Zeh HaDavar? V'anir Ali, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, to the MS Matzinu Shinavi MS Ein Shnei Neviim is Navi B'Signon Echad. Says he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that no two Neviim have the same exact nevuah. Umizeh Hevin Yoshefa B'Neviyei Achav Sheinam Neviyei MS B'Nei Shakulam Nisnavi B'Signon Echad. And that's how Yehoshaphat knew that by Neviyei Achav it wasn't Neviyei MS, because it was all B'Signon Echad. It was exactly identical, right? And the pshat is that when a Navi would go ahead and get and have Nevuah, so it wasn't perfectly clear. And then the way they would relay that experience over and what the message was, it couldn't be the same as the next person. It couldn't be identical as the next person. Like for example, we have Baruch Hashem, some people listening to this shir now. So if you say over Devar Torah from this shir to somebody else, this is a Nevuah, but the way one person's gonna interpret it and say it over will be slightly different than the next person. So it was the same idea. It was for the Nevi'im. It was all, as the Gemara says, it was ein shnei neviim misnabim b'signon echad. It wasn't exactly the same. It wasn't identical to one another. It wasn't in the same manner. The Chor HaDavid Tzarech Liyos Behefech. The neviim emes shekiblu b'makor echad hayu lehem lomar b'lashon echad v'neviim sheker lehefech. V'nirli the emes amar chazal. Since he quotes the Gemara Brachos shekashem shepetzufei adam einam damin zelazeh. Just like people don't look alike, they don't think alike. So Ploni. So, okay, he's proving the point that, that two Nevi'im never, you know, have the same, everyone's different. Every person's unique. Aze, im yashivu shnei anashe va'echad hu asher va'sheni hu ani bevade sha'ani yafligas ashro shaloso ploni va'ashi yadaber v'mida bitzom tzemes v'cheinim shneim shavin ba'asher ela sha'echad metabu migezim hanehu adkan okay, so he's proving his point that, that two people are never the same. So it comes out. If you hear exactly the same thing from two people, then you know it's false. Each person understands it according to his abilities and his character, his characteristics, his, the way he grew up, the way he is, the way, it all factors in. Moshe Inki, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was not the case. Moshe Rabbeinu was b'zeh adover mamish. That's what the pasuk is teaching us here. Kikabaloso. As, b'li eze ishtatus mi'ishisu ha'protis. The way that Moshe got the Torah from Hashem is the exact way that he went ahead and transmitted it and gave it over to Bnei Yisrael without adding any flavor, any change based upon who he was as a person. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaber migronei shel Moshe. Right, and that's what the Chazal say, that Hashem spoke from the throat of Moshe. It was as if Hashem was saying nothing was mishtane. Nothing was mishtane when Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and gave a nevuah. So that's what Zeh HaDavar is teaching us. Zeh HaDavar is a lashon of nevuah on a madriga gavoa from Komar Hashem, because it's saying this is mamish. Zeh HaDavar is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Nothing was changed. The only Navi to be able to do that. Every other Navi, it was interpreted a little, it wasn't clear, and they would interpret it in their own way to the best of their ability of what the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. But Moshe Rabbeinu was on a totally different madriga, much higher level. He says, "V'hine mefarshes nedarim anu miparshes nedarim anu ron she'adam yesh bekoch liyitzer lechadish mitzvos averes chadashos." He says, "From what do we learn from nedarim?" So now he's going to connect it. So what did we wait all the way until now to teach us this great godless and lesson from Moshe Rabbeinu? It's because we know from nedarim that a person is actually—it's an amazing concept—that a person can go ahead and be mechadish certain isurim upon himself or mitzvos upon himself, right? He can go ahead and accept upon himself certain things. Dehainu shim adam nishba shvua shiyochal kikarzu harehu mitzvah lo'ochla vareze mitzvos aseh kama achilas matzah. He says a person goes ahead, right? He uses an example of eating a loaf of bread. But if I say that this computer that I'm doing this Zoom share on right now is usher for me to use for the next 30 days. This is just an example. It's not lemaisa. And then I use it. I accept it upon an isser upon myself. I mamish. There's 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. And this is akasha. How did Nedarim work with Baal Tosef, which we're not going to get into tonight. But you go ahead and you're creating a new concept that has implications and from the Torah that's either prohibited or a mitzvah upon yourself. And he goes ahead. V'kevan sheyesh lo la'adam, if you scroll down to where it's underlined, since person has the ability lahosif b'Torah to add on to the Torah mamish, and this is like one of the areas probably is like a concept of like Baal Tosef. You have to understand that, but lafika chaya ola al dato shegam b'Torah nata chilek ishiyosa shemosa Moshe. Since this is where we're learning in Parshas Nedarim about the ability of a person to accept upon themselves something not in the Torah, something that's independent that they want to accept upon themselves from their own knowledge and their own thoughts and their own decision. So you might think that maybe the entire Torah, right, is spun in Moshe Rabbeinu's, from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective. He added in his own color and flavor into the way he gave it over to Moshe, into Bnei Yisrael. L'fikach b'zeh malkum yidgisha ha'tar v'amar zeh ha'davar. Therefore, b'dafka here by Nedarim, the Torah comes along and tells us, no. Zeh ha'davar. Yeah, you're going to learn about Parshas Nedarim, where a person can go ahead and make Nedarim upon themselves, which is fine. A person can do that. They're halachos about it. But don't get confused and think that Moshe did that with Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Zeh HaDavar. She'ash Yishana Parshas Nedarim V'Ava Bikin Atar Hikulim Pi Hashem V'Doki Nachum. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, says in MC Yaakov, that nevertheless, even though we have a Parshas Nedarim, Zeh HaDavar from Moshe Rabbeinu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything in the Torah is Hikulim Pi Hashem. And it's a big yisod in just the hashkafa of like understanding the nevuah, the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but in our perspective in Torah, that a person should never think chas v'shalom that anything was twisted or changed at all in the Torah from the way that Moshe gave it over. And chas v'shalom, a person should think that, and that's what this, we waited until Nedarim to go ahead and learn this lesson of Zeh HaDavar that Rashi brings down, that it's Madrega Gavoa from Kohen Hashem. Beautiful idea to open up tonight from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So we know one of the big parshios in this week's parsha, which I don't think I mentioned actually before in the Hakdama, and in quick summary, is the parsha of Tfilas Kelim and Hagalas Kelim. The fact that you have to go ahead and Tovel Kelim, you need to, if you purchase or acquire a kli from a non-Jew, so it requires tefillah. And Hagalah, if it becomes treif in any way, so it has to go ahead and be purged, and the Isser has to come out. You have to put it into hot water, boiling hot water, and you have to do Hagalah or Libun. It depends how the Isser came in. Kabbalah Kach Polto, we know the concept that the way that an Isser comes into a pot or pan is the same manner in which it has to be extracted and come out and be expunged from it. So where is this learned out? It's learned out from this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha of all places, random, pretty random, but Parshas Matos. Parshas Matos discusses the war with the Midian. And the pasuk says, "Ach es azov es hakesef es hanachashes es habarzel es habdil es haofares." That the gold, the silver, only the gold, the silver, the copper, the iron, the tin, and the lead. Talking about different types of materials. Perek lamed aleph pasuk of base. Pasuk of gimel tells us, "Kol davar sheyavo ba'esh taviro ba'esh vitaher." That whatever is used in your fire, in fire you shall pass through the fire, and then it will be clean. Ach mini deyischot v'chol sheyavo ba'esh taviro ba'mayim. Also be cleansed with sprinkling water. It must, however, also be cleansed with sprinkling water. Whatever is not used in the fire, you should pass through water. Okay, so the Gemara in, I think it's Avodah Zarah, learns out the dinim of Hechsher Kelim and Tfilas Kelim from here. And from this pasuk, Kol davar sheyavo ba'esh taviro ba'esh vitaher. So if you look at the Beis Yosef, it's very, I just wanted to quote it to understand, a little machshava, because bringing a kelim to the mikvah, we do it obviously, and it's very nice and it's important, and it's but what's the machshava behind it? Why do I have to take a kli that I bought in a store that's brand new from a non-Jewish store and from non-Jews or whatever, and bring it to a mikvah? What's the reason for this? Says the Beis Yosef in Yeridayim and Kufchav, where Hefsher kelim and Tfilas Kelim is discussed. You have to total it properly if you buy new kelim from a guy, even if it's kli chadash, right? It's not just used, but it's even something new. The whole discussion there about the mayan and the 40 saw and the different size of the mikvah that needs to be used for Tfilas Kelim, says the Beis Yosef, quoting at the end from the Yerushalmi, he throws in a beautiful machshava idea that when a Jew acquires a kli from a non-Jew, it's now going ahead and leaving the tuma of the non-Jew. There's a certain tuma that the kli has because the non-Jew owned it, and it's now becoming kedushas yisra when you bring it into your life to use. You're going to say brachos on the food on that kli. You're going to use that kli for Shabbos. You're going to use the kli for mitzvahs or for every suda that you have. Those kelim, the kli suda, and kelim that touch the food and everything, and the whole discussion, what's chayv and tila. But those kelim and mamish have a kedushas Yisrael. Beautiful machshava idea. What is Tfilas Kelim all about? That when you buy something from a non-Jew, so I'm not just taking it from a store and giving them some money and buying a kli. When I acquire it, I'm mamish being machnis it into of kedusha because I own it now, and there's a certain quality of kedusha for the possessions that I have, which now require tvila because it left the tumah of the person that owned it previously, the non-Jew, and now it's coming in kedusha Yisrael. A beautiful machshava vart on Tfilas Kelim, quoting the Beis Yosef, straight from the Yerushalmi. You can't. It's not just a chassidish vart here. It's the Yerushalmi. It's a Gemara. If you look at number six, though, we have a chassidish vart. So we have a vart here from the Kotzker, yeah. So the Kotzker asks a similar question to what we started with, right? But a different context. Why did we wait until now to teach halachas of Tfilas Kelim? We had other mechamas beforehand. We had the mechama of Sichon of Oig. So why didn't the Torah tell us about the Tfilas Kelim then and Hechsher Kelim? That you're required to do that when they got any of the booty and the spoils from any war previously. Why did they wait specific? Why did the Torah wait specifically until Kli Midyan and the war with Midyan to teach us these halachos? So it's some of the question we had before. What Yaakov said: why did the Torah wait until now to teach us Zeh Adavar about this Madrega Gvoya B'Yaiser that Moshe Rabbeinu had by Nevuah, and they didn't tell us previously? So there was a reason, because now we're learning about Nedarim, and Nedarim might lead somebody to think that Moshe maybe added his own ideas into the Torah, and so, even in a small way, but he didn't, Chas v'Shalom. So the same question is asked here. Lama nitzdava b'nei Yisrael ha'agalas kelim nak la'ocher milchamas midyan. He specifically asked about Agalas kelim, but why is it only mentioned after milchamas midyan? V'lama lo never mitzvazu miyad acher milchamas og, I think I should say og, v'sichon, Shagam Sham Hayu Kalim Shalisir. There is also Kalim Shalisir that they got. Says the Kutzker, Elub Machem Sichon Va'og, Nifka Machshava Shayisrael. By the wars of Sichon Va'og, there were purely physical battles. The Machshava, the brains, which is what we are, our Mahus, wasn't part of the war with Sichon and Og. It wasn't Pogim, our thoughts. Therefore, the mitzvah agala isn't mentioned there. But the midyanim metame the machshava of Bnei Yisrael. It wasn't just a physical battle. They were mamish metameos in the way, in our machshavos, in the way we think, in the way we behave, in the way we act, and so there. There, and here, by the Midyanim, we were mizchadish, the Torah is mizchadish, the din of Hagala. Sheish ba mishum remez, lahaflit es kol habalua. This concept of spitting out that which you absorbed, hainu machshava lo tahora, is really a reference to this machshava of lo tahora, which the Midyanim had. So the wars that were earlier weren't necessarily wars against our machshava. Sounds like almost like the war against against Yavon by Hanukkah, right? There was a war against our philosophy and our way of life and the way of thinking and the way of being a Jew. So that's what the Kutzker is saying, is the war of Midyan as well. That's what the war of Midyan was. And that Hagalas Kalim, when we take a kli and we cleanse it, that it got Isser into it, and we put it into hot water, we take it out, we expunge, we remove that Isser from it. So Kibolo Kach Poto, we're spitting out that which came into it. That's exactly what we accomplished by the success in the victory over Midyan, is we are also polate es kol ha-balua, everything that we absorbed, the tumma of Midyan, we were able to get rid of it and to not have it anymore when we defeated them. And that was the machshav lo tahor that they went ahead and imparted to us. So another beautiful idea about Hagalas Kalim, why we waited until now, what the whole vart is behind Hagalas Kalim and from the Beis Yosef about Tfilas Kalim, the machshava behind these beautiful mitzvos that we have. So moving on, Parshas Maaseh. And we know we have the travels of Bnei Yisrael as we started this year, right? Megala Muko says, Eile Maaseh, the Maaseh, the Mem, Samech Ayin, the Maaseh Bnei Yisrael, Eile Maaseh Bnei Yisrael is Edom, Madai, Bavel, and Yavon. Asher Yotzim Mitzrayim, Meir Tzayim, it's also Yad Moshe V'Aaron. So says Rashi. Rashi goes ahead and says, why does the Torah need to tell us about Lama Nechtava HaMasos Halalu? Why were these journeys recorded? Why did the Torah tell us about them? Says Rashi, L'hadiyah Chassidov Shalmakum, Chassadov Shalmakum, to tell us about the kindness, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'afa pishagaz erleim l'talat olam l'aniyam b'midbar. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decree upon us that we would be wanderers and travel in the midbar, lo tomar shayu na'im imitul tolim imasim al-asa kol arba mishana v'leisim l'hamenucha shara in kan el arba mishtayim asavs. So he goes ahead and says, you shouldn't say that they were moving about wandering from station to station all 40 years they were traveling and that they had no rest, because there are only 42 stages. Take away 14, and he goes through all cheshbon. So it's the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we could have been traveling, it could have been hundreds and hundreds of different travels and journeys that we had in the Midbar. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his chasadav limited the amount of journeys that we had. So, that's what Rashi says. And the next pasuk afterwards, pasuk Bey says, Vayichtov Moshe es motza'ehem lemaseihem, al pi Hashem ve'e lemaseihem lemotza'ehem. Moshe recorded the beginning of their travels, the starting points, the motzaehem, for their journeys, for their travels, lamaseihem, a little tricky there, what, you know, difference between motzeihem and maseihem, according to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. And these were the journeys with the beginning of where they started. So many of the Mefarshim discuss the obvious change of swap of words in this pasuk. Of in the beginning of pasuk base it says motzeihem lemaseihem, and at the end it says maseihem lemotzeihem. So we'll talk about that shortly. But the question is, why all these travels, you know, are mentioned? So Rashi has his idea. The Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, actually says that it is to go ahead and to tell us, similar to Rashi, but to tell us about the, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that by each place we were brought to, you know, that there was something, we weren't just, you know, left out to dry in the Midbar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us each travel by each journey and each destination, and he provided everything we needed throughout the Midbar. So it's to teach us, it's to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he gave us everything we needed, even though we did journey and wander in the Midbar. But, okay, these are the travels, these are the journeys, and we had everything we needed along the way. The Sforno actually says the opposite idea, that he puts it on Bnei Yisrael. Yes.
I just wanted to point out that Rashi, citing the Midrash Tantoma, says the exact same thing. Why each encampment, each camp of each Shevet is listed in this week's Parsha. Rashi says it's because to show that Hashem is with us all the way.
Exactly. He quotes the mashal, the parable of he says at the end, Rabbi Tanchuma, correct. It's a different idea. Zemi Sudar Shemosha Darshan. And then he quotes in this Rabbi Tanchuma, a different drash, a drasha acheres. And you're exactly right. That's beautiful here. He basically says the idea from the Rambam that it's like a king whose son becomes sick. And so he took him to a faraway place to have him healed. On the way back, the father began telling him all the places to tell him, this is where we sat, this is where, you know, we were cold, this is where you had a headache, etc., etc. Beautiful. So similar to the Rambam, and the Rambam, it's along the same lines. Says the Sforno Eilam Masei, Rotza HaKel Yisbar Shiftu Masei Yisrael, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want the different journeys to be mentioned? Lo Diyah Zechusam Belechtam Acher B'midbar B'eretz Lo Zeru. B'ayfin Sheru L'Kanis La'aretz. Not to tell us the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu per se. It's to tell us the greatness of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael had to follow Hashem throughout the Midbar. They had to trust. I mean, I don't know what other option they had, but they had to go ahead. And it's in their Zechus. It's to go ahead and tell us the praises of Bnei Yisrael, how they followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Midbar Eretz Lo Zura, so that they can be fit to go into Eretz Yisrael. Fine. That's as far enough. The next source number 9, we have an idea from the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov goes ahead, and I'm sure some of us have heard this idea before. So Baal Shem Tov tells us, and it's probably rooted in Chassidus, but he tells us this idea. I mean, he didn't tell us this because it's probably one of his Tamidim that wrote to put this together. But Shamati B'Shem, I'm not sure. I don't have it's all Likud Sefer on the Baal Shem Tov. Ki kol hamasos ha'imembeis, right? There are 42 different travels, journeys of Bnei Yisrael. V'hem etzo kol adam yom havaldo huvaldu a'at shuvu el olama. And so too each person in this world, says the Baal Shem Tov, has their own personal 42 journeys that they go through from the time they're born until the time that they return back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person comes into the world and a baby is born and comes out of his mother's womb, it is like he's mamish leaving Yitzias Mitzrayim. He's exiting Mitzrayim, he's leaving Mitzrayim. That's the first journey that Bnei Israel had, leaving Mitzrayim to go into the Midbar. And from then on, they go from one journey to the next, to the next, to the next, until their life is over in this world, in Olam Hazeh, in a physical way, and they go back to, and their neshama returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Avinu Shebashamayim. And that's what the pasuk says, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu Ve'al Pi Hashem Yiso, Ki Ubechinas Katnus Egadus. Okay. So that's what the Baal Shem Tov says, that each person in the world, maybe that's why the Torah is telling us about all the journeys. The Torah is telling us about all the journeys because it's really being merames that each person has his own personal journeys in life. I don't know what number I'm up to in life. Maybe I should make a cheshbon. I'll probably be wrong. But everyone has their 42 journeys. And if a person has a shorter life or a longer life, however many years they live in this world, they go through their own personal 42 journeys. And if we think about it even deeper and take this one step further, then we each have our nisyonos during those 42 journeys sometimes. Some of them are smoother, some of them are harder, some of them are shorter, and some of them are longer. And that's what happened to Bnei Yisrael as well. That some of the journeys were not pushed. Some of the times in the Midbar were very bad for them, and they complained, and they did chatayim. So too with us, and that we need to just try to, you know, accomplish as much as we can during our journeys in life. And when we journey, you know, it doesn't just mean to move from one place to another physically, but it means to the different nisyonos that each of us have in life, the different, you know, stages that we go through as we evolve as humans, as people, from different parts of our life into the next part of our life. And, you know, to try to go through those 42 journeys, just like Bnei Yisrael, to ultimately end up where? And Eretz Yisrael, that's really where, you know, Bnei Yisrael ended up. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, but Bnei Yisrael did. But Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished his tafkid. And so it's important, and many of the Mefarshim point out, many of the Bali Musar, that it's not just the destinations that are important. Because if it was just the destinations, the Torah would just give us a list. Here are the 42, you know, 48, whatever destinations that Bnei Yisrael were at. But the journeys themselves are important too. Going from one place to the next, the traveling in between to get there is also emphasized by the Torah. Otherwise, it wouldn't go through all the details in the Psukim to tell us that they went from here and they traveled there. Obviously, we know that they went from here and traveled, they got to the next place. When, if you just say they got there, we know where they were traveling and they had to get there somehow. But the journeys the Torah is teaching us are also extremely important. It's not just about, it's of course the destination is important too, but don't get just caught up in the destinations in our lives trying to think about all the goals and everything we want to accomplish, but getting to those goals and how we get there and the effort we put in is valuable as well. And I was just thinking, you know, a little muscle, just an example for us, you know, is a person can try so many times to do something in Avodas Hashem and keep failing over and over and over. And, you know, then they try to have a chavrusa, and the chavrusa works out a couple times and then it dies out. It's the momentum and excitement that was there the first day isn't there after four or five times of meeting. And then, you know, neither person contacts each other. And then they still have a burning desire to learn with that chavrusa or a different chavrusa, so they start up another chavrusa. And then that fizzles out too, maybe after 2 weeks. And eventually, those are the travels. Eventually they'll get to that destination of having that chavrusa that's permanent. But don't think that those efforts and that desire, that chukah, that wanting to have a chavrusa is meaningless and nothing. It's valuable is what the Torah is teaching us by detailing all of the journeys and not just the destinations as well. A person should never, ever like get down on themselves and think, you know, I'm a failure, I can't do it. They should just try again, and Emir Tzashem, they'll hit the journey afterwards. And that's one of the big lessons that the Bali Moser teach us from these Masos of Bnei Yisrael that we go through in our own lives, not just to focus on the destinations, but of course goals, and being goal-oriented person is important, having a tachlis, but how we get there and the work that takes to get there is equally important as well. Just to wrap up the evening, so we know we're in the 3 weeks now, and the 3 weeks is a time. 3 weeks actually is not a real term. You won't find it in any. You might find it in an English book, and from Arts Girl. But you're not going to find it in any svarim that are more than maybe 50 or 100 years old. I'm not sure who made it up. It's probably made up in the mountains. I heard, you know, in like the 50s or 60s or something, by some very good Jew. But it just worked out, the 3 weeks and the 9 days, that we coined those terms. And the 9 days isn't a real thing either. The Gemara, I mean, the 3 weeks it was really Bein HaMetzarim, and the 9 days is the Gemara talks about from Rosh Chodesh Av, you know, different Nihuge Avelos at the time. So we're entering into this period, and we're about to go into Chodesh Av this upcoming week, in just a few days. And I just wanted to, I saw an idea from Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Baruch Simon. I wanted to go ahead and just share it as we wrap up the shir this evening. So he quoted that idea from the Megala Mukos that we started off, that this is Megala, that this Mirame is to the four Gullios. And he quotes as follows. He quotes from the Kosnas Or, Remeir Eisenstadt, the author of Ponim Eros. He says that the Torah also tells us that the reason ma hevi luchach shi'as makomokum galagol, why do we go ahead and travel? Why are we going from one galus to the next? And he says ele maase b'nei sasha yatzim et shem tzila sambi ad Moshe v'Aaron. He says kibetim muvan leizin and niskar she yatzim et shem. Says the Kot Nosor, why is it that the Torah mentions here that Bnei Yisrael had left Mitzrayim? We know that was the first place they left. We're not talking about Mitzrayim here. It's what's the Torah teaching us? Rak machuvan hu mi kefi mashin isbaral eilam asim Bnei Yisrael shekan ramza tar sheyochem Bnei Yisrael begalus veita diim haisa gula idek adash baruch matzul haya hagalus vahagaisa gula shlema rakibin shaisa idabas adam hine kashem sheyem ovrim kachu losam avra. So the reason that the Torah is telling us this is it's teaching us a lesson. That just like if the Geula came from Mitzrayim by Kadosh Baruch Hu, by Atzmo, which we say on Pesach, which is interesting, but really Moshe and Aaron are the ones that took Bnei Yisrael out, Loi HaGalus V'Haisa Geula Soshlema. It would have been a true ultimate Geula. But since there was Basar Adam involved, since Moshe and Aaron were involved, then just like the Hine Kashem Shehem over him, just like Basar Adam go ahead and die and they pass in this world, Kach Geula Sanavra, so too the Geula is going to be over as well. And that's why we had a Geula Rishona and a Geula Shliya. We had the first Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash, and now we're waiting for the Geula Shlema. And he quotes a Medrash to prove this point. Fine. So he asks the question, and he says as follows, that's what he says in Fenish. The reason that the Geula didn't last from Mitzrayim is the Fisha Haya Geula Sanavra, the Basar Adam, the Kach Geula Sanavra, Ve'yecha Achar Kach the Geula. So he quotes, Tam Icha Hagula. Why are we in Gullus for so long? Why is the Geula, why is the Geula Shlema taking us so long? And he says, that's what we have to think about. That's what we need to contemplate. That's obviously very appropriate for this time. And he quotes from the Noah Megadim. The Noah Megadim was a sefer from Rabbi Eliezer Halevi Horvitz. And he says as follows. He says, why is there an Icha Hagula? Why is the Geula taking us so long, thousands of years to get to? And he says, Madua Dain Lo Ba Ben Yishai, why has the Mashiach come yet? He explains as follows. He quotes the Tikkun HaZohar. The Tikkun HaZohar says that when we daven, it compares us to dogs, which is pretty bad. It says we're like dogs. Kulan Svachim Bitzloisan and the Yoma de Kippurah, that on Yom Kippur, not just when we daven, on Yom Kippur when we daven, we're like davening like dogs. Because we say, Hav Hav, Lana Mizonis, Slicha, Kavar Achaye. Because what do? We say, give, give, give. Just give me this, give me that. We just ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bakashos for our own personal selves. Klomar, Koma Tara Tfila, Eina Ela Avur Atzmam, Lanasam Him, Ve'inam Samim Alibam Kla Lavake Shlaman Kvod HaShechina. He said, what's the Tikkun HaZohar teaching us that when we daven, he says that many people daven and they're only focused on themselves. What do I need? I need money. I need health. I need shalom bayis. I need to have my son go to this yeshiva. I need to have my daughter go ahead and have great midos and be in balas chesed. That's all they daven. That's the way that they ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way that they request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'inam samim alibam klal levakesh l'man kvod ha'shechina. But they don't go ahead and ask it that it should be for the kvod ha'shechina. That it should be so that there can be more honor and glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shia bali parnasav shia briyim b'chdei shi'uchul avar Hashem. They forget the second part of it. The clause at the end. That yeah, I want good health. Why? Not so I can enjoy life more. But so I could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. Why do I want my daughter to be b'as chesed? Not so I can be proud of her and my neighbors can go ahead and tell me, wow, what kind of daughter, you know, you have, she's amazing, always so smiley and so sweet and thoughtful and kind. And no, it's to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, to bring Kvod Shemayim into the world. And he says that so too is how the Bakasha Gula has to come. He says the reason that the Gula hasn't come yet is because our tefillos are not directed into the right place. Yeah, we might daven, right? A person can say, oh, I'm davening, you know, what? Give me a break, I'm already doing that. But we're davening incorrectly sometimes. We're davening improperly. We're focused, you know, on ourselves and what we need rather than thinking about what's really important, and that's Kavod Shemayim in the world. That's bringing us, bringing more of honor and glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and that should always be as part of Hosafa of a tefillah that we have. That's the purpose. And he quotes the pasuk, a beautiful drash that's what the pasuk says by the Yom Kippur. V'inisim es nasho seichem b'tisha l'chodesh b'arvim v'arev ad erev tishbesu shabbatchem. She'gemar darshu al tisha. We know that the Torah says use the lashon tisha, the number 9, when it's talking about Yom Kippur, which is on the 10th day. Why? It's erev Yom Kippur. So the Gemara talks about it. So he says, "B'derech remez yeshlomar she'inisim es nasho seichem b'tisha l'chodesh remez what l'tishabav." Says the Noam Agadim and Mari Dekavart, a chidish atzum. But he says that what is Batish Lachodesh in the Torah, in Parshas Emor? It's talking about Tisha B'Av. Klomer mikevon shehankam ispalim Yom Kippur rak tovaschem. Here's the drush. Since on Yom Kippur you daven just for yourself, selfishly, v'lo'man kvod ha'shechina, and not for the honor and for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nimtzish Yom Kippur hu begeder shabaschem. Then you know, Yom Kippur is like Shabbaschem. It's for you to just rest and for you, you know, personally and selfishly. Hayni Yom Litzarach Atzmechem. It's a day just for you alone. V'lo l'kvod Hashchina. Lachain. Therefore, the drush v'inisim es nafsho seichem. You have to be afflicted. Tzrichim atem lezanos adayim b'tisha l'chodesh shehu tisha b'av. Therefore, you have to fast when on the 9th of the month, which is a reference to Tisha B'av. So he concludes that a person should really go ahead and be mispalel and be mevakish chaim tovim levan kvod hashchina, right? That's what he's saying on our Shani Yom Kippur, but we should mean it. We say it's lamancha elokim chaim, that's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. And that's what we need to focus on during these times. And just to conclude from source number 12, it's not really a source, it's just some Hebrew words, but I heard from Rav Yossi Zakatinsky that we know this month is called Chodesh Av, and Av comes from the same Lashon as the one month that's actually named in the Torah, and that's the month of Nisan. Nisan is the only month that the Torah gives its name. And we know Nisan is the month of Geula, but Nisan, Nigalu, and Nisan Asidin Ligal. That in Nisan is when the Geula happened from Mitzrayim, and that's when the ultimate Geula is going to happen. But Nisan, we know, is the beginning of Chodesh Aviv. That's when Nisan has to fall out. That's why you need to have a leap year, because Pesach has to fall out then. So Av, which is the month that we are about to enter into, which is probably the darkest month on the Jewish calendar, and the saddest month of the whole year, because we mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and have Tisha B'Av. Av and Aviv have the same word. It's the same, it's connected. And what's the connection? Nisan is the one month which is Aviv, which is all about the Geula. Av, which is the month that we're going into, is all about the Gullus. One day it will be L'Sos and L'Simcha, but right now it's the exact opposite of the Geula. So why Av and Aviv? What do the two have to do with each other? It's because they're all part of the path to the Geula. They're all, don't think that Av isn't part of the path to the Geula. Everything in the world, everything that we do, everything that happens, is hopefully getting us one step closer to that Geula. When we mourn the Beis HaMikdash and we realize what we don't have, that lost opportunity to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see Him with clarity, and we're sad about that, and we really try to make it more palpable and real to us, and to change us a little more, to appreciate it more. That's another path towards the Geula. And so really Av is the same as Aviv, because Nisan and Av, even though on the outside they might seem like one's Gullus, one's Geula, and that's what they are, ultimately they're really leading towards the Geula. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim once said. Somebody once asked the Chafetz Chaim when the Medina, when the Balfour Declaration, everything was happening to I think it was the Chafetz Chaim, I'm not sure. I don't know if the years work out. But they asked the Chafetz Chaim, they thought there was a Siman of Geula that was happening. So they asked the Chafetz Chaim, is this the beginning of the Geula? Chafetz Chaim said, give me a Chumash. Took a Chumash off the shelf, they opened it up, Chafetz Chaim pointed to the first pasuk in the Torah, Breshis Bara Elohim, Es HaShamayim V'Saaretz. This is the beginning of the Geula. Everything in the world that has happened since Breshis Bara Elohim until now has been a process and part of the Geula. So don't think that Av is all about Gullus and being sad and upset. Of course there's a concept of Avelus, but it's also a stage and a process in the Geula. It's one of the Masos, perhaps, that we all need to go through in our own lives. And Mirtz Hashem, as the Gemara says, that Kol Masabel Yerushalayim Zoicha, that will be Zoicha to see it and to enjoy it. That if we're Masabel properly and understand what we're losing out on, what we're missing over the next few weeks that we have left of this Bein HaMetzarim period, and from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, Mirtz Hashem, the Tisha B'Av will be Nehapich, and it will become a day of Sasan V'Simcha, Lihudo Kol Beis Yisrael will be a happy day, a day that we celebrate, and a day soon when we're all in Eretz Yisrael without a coronavirus and have the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash from Heretz Kingdom. Amen. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.